The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Three easy steps to end mass shootings. We're talking about that on the Carl Jackson podcast.
Redeemed, rehabilitated, and real entertaining. This is the Carl Jackson podcast.
As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? When in God's name we do what we all know in our gut needs to be done? The idea that an 18-year-old kid can walk into a gun store and buy two assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick. And the gun manufacturers have spent two decades aggressively marketing assault weapons, which make them the most and largest profit. For God's sake, we have to have the courage to stand up to the industry.
What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African-American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in the classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job, of putting yourself in a position of authority, if your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing? What are we doing? Why are you here? If not to solve a problem as existential as this. This isn't inevitable. These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else. Nowhere else do little kids go to school thinking that they might be shot that day. Nowhere else do parents have to talk to their kids, as I have had to do, about why they got locked into a bathroom and told to be quiet.
And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. You realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
All right, welcome to the podcast. My voice is a little better today. I hope you guys can bear with me. Listen, I want to get right into the issue of this shooting that happened in Uvalde at this, I believe it's Robb Elementary School. And let me say this just right from the onset. Let's stop playing games when it comes to racial issues, trying to racialize and politicize all this nonsense that you just watch the videos, you've seen Joe Biden try to politicize this. You've seen coach of the Golden State Warriors, head coach Steve Kerr, try to politicize it. You've just watched Senator Chris Murphy try to politicize the mass shootings. This is what the left constantly does. I'm going to debunk every single lie these guys have said. There's been no legislation, there's no law that will work against evil, that will work against mass shooters. Let me also say this in regards to race. We've now watched recently in the last month or slightly more, we've watched this Brooklyn subway shooter that targeted people based on race and sexual orientation. He happened to be Black. He was a mass shooter. We watched this the Buffalo shooter that targeted white people. All right. Now we watch this and he happened to, he targeted Black people and he happened to be white. So we got a Black mass shooter. We got a white mass shooter. Now we have a Latino mass shooter. So let's stop playing racial games when it comes to this nonsense. Evil is evil and evil comes in all types of colors. Don't forget the Virginia Tech shooter who happened to be Asian. Let me share a story with you real quick. And I'm going to talk to you about the three easy steps, how we can end mass shootings or at least put a serious dent or deter them significantly. All right. So I want to get I want to delve into this so that there's going to be no ambiguity in this. I'm going to debunk all types of myths and lies coming from the gun grabbers from the left and even some little weaklings in the Republican Party that might think, you know what, now is a good time to infringe on our God-given right to defend ourselves. What happened in Uvalde, Texas was absolutely terrible. It is a tragedy. Yesterday, I just put out a tweet basically and put out on Facebook. Listen, we do have to pray for these people, and we pray that God will give them a level of comfort that they can't even comprehend, because I can't imagine losing my daughter that way. I know those of you in the listening audience, you can't imagine losing your child that way to some evil little punk that has whose life is completely void of meaning. But what I'm not going to do is sit here and allow the left to politicize this without it going unanswered. So I'm going to give you facts that you're not going to find on a lot of conservative outlets, even because I want you to be well informed so that you can both do your part as a citizen of the United States to make sure that the Second Amendment stays intact. But at the same time, we show the right level, I think, of compassion and alertness for mass shootings that do seem to be rising. I'm going to get into those numbers, but quick, let me just tell you quickly before I get into them in detail, the three ways that you can stop mass shootings pretty much overnight, in my opinion. And that is the fear of God, the fear of justice. And I'm talking about swift justice. That's what we saw in Uvalde, Texas, just yesterday. And the fear of guns, fear of God, fear of justice, swift justice. I'll make a distinction. And the fear of guns. Carl, the fear of guns. We're talking about guns. You're talking about a fear of guns. How are we going to stop bad guys with guns? We'll get into that. But those are the three ways, three easy ways. And we'll get into this. But first, guys, I'm telling you, there are families that are weeping and grieving today like we can't imagine. Like we can't imagine. So I'm going to continue to ask you to pray for those people. I know lefties don't believe in the power of prayer, but I happen to believe in the power of prayer. I do believe there's a God that loves people. And even though we live in a sick and evil world, largely, in my opinion, in part because we've walked away from God, we have to deal with heinous actions and evil actions like we saw take place yesterday in Uvalde. All right. But the latest numbers I've heard, 19 children dead, at least two adults are dead. I've heard other conflicting numbers where there's 18 children and three people dead. I'm sure the numbers will be confirmed. But either way, you have perhaps spouses grieving. You definitely have family members all the way around grieving, and they are weeping unconsolably right now because the pain is so deep and their souls right now feel so empty. So I do want to make sure that we continue to pray for these people. But again, how do we stop this nonsense? Fear of God, fear of justice, fear of guns. Forget all the naysayers. There's a lot of experts out there opining. You can pick and choose who you want to listen to. Let me give you a quick story. So I grew up in Los Angeles, California, born in Compton, California, primarily spent my years as a young buck and a teenager in Linwood, California, and Long Beach, California. So roaming the streets, honestly, Compton, Linwood, Long Beach, That was my domain. All right. I can tell you by the time it may have been even sooner, but I just give this as a general rule. I can tell you by the time I was 10 years old, I had a gun in my hand. If any criminal wants to get a hold of a gun, they're going to get a hold of a gun. There's no freaking legislation out there that exists that will ever, ever, ever stop a person that wants to kill somebody from killing. I don't care if they use a gun. I don't care if they use a knife. I don't care if they use a baseball bat. You can never legislate out evil. It will not happen. If you could do that, there would not be criminals behind bars. So let's stop playing these games, pretending like we can end this nonsense. The best thing that you can do is be on guard to make sure that you protect yourself and that the Second Amendment stays in place so that anyone that wants to be able to defend their life can defend their life. If there's people that don't want to pick up arms to be able to defend their lives, I'm sorry, that's on you. That is on you. But quick story, again, probably 10 years old, had a gun in my hand, pellet gun, 22 caliber, 25 caliber handgun, all of those in my hand. By the time I was 25, by the time I was 10, here's what happens. So I lived in California, lived in Los Angeles County. We have some of the strictest gun control laws on the books now. It wasn't always as strict as it is now. But the fact of the matter is you could always get access to a gun, even at a young age, especially if you live in the hood, you live in high crime areas, you live in areas where there's lots of gang activity. And we would have teachers, we would have, you know, the principals, assistant principals, experts come in, law enforcement come in, talk to us about the dangers of guns in school assemblies. But here's what we knew, the children knew, that they didn't know. They could speak, these police officers that would come in and talk, the teachers, the assistant principals, they could come in and talk to us all day long about the dangers of guns. But the problem is we had to, as children, as students growing up in the hood, we had to deal with the dangers of the streets. So you know what we did after we listened to them talk about the dangers of guns? We armed ourselves. All right. Because when I went to school, I had to walk through Compton Barrio, T-Flats territory. I had to walk through Young Crowd territory, Mexican gangs. I had to walk through Neighborhood Crip territory. I had to walk through Pendleton Ave Crip territory. I had to walk through Nutty Block Compton Crip territory. I had to walk through Fruit Town Piru territory. That's a blood gang. You see what I'm saying? So they could have all the speeches. They could host all the assemblies they want. Didn't do a damn thing. And it will never do a damn thing to stop criminals from using crime. Another thing that I want to bring up that I want to make sure that I don't forget before I get to some stats. How much of this should we blame on the COVID lockdowns? Right? Kids sitting at home, nothing else to do, sitting on their computers, sitting on their phones, you know, their souls are completely empty. They have, you know, they're not involved in any activities at school. Kids aren't going, parents aren't taking their kids to church anymore. So those empty souls are being filled with something, and they're being filled with a lot of craziness online. I know there's mental conditions out there as well, but how much did the COVID lockdowns contribute to mental conditions even? Anxiety, depression skyrocketed amongst school-aged children because of the COVID lockdowns. So a lot of this has to do with that. We can't ignore that. That's why we should never, ever, ever listen to the quote-unquote experts about medical lockdowns. That should never happen in the United States again. The person that says that stuff in the future should be hanged, as far as I'm concerned. That should never happen in the United States again. We should never give politicians and bureaucrats that much control over our lives. If you do, I'm sorry, you don't deserve to be an American. You do not deserve to be an American, in my opinion. So let's go through this assault weapons myth. All right. What the heck is an assault weapon? An assault weapon can be anything, right? An assault weapon could be a shoe you use to commit a crime, for God's sakes. It could be a knife. It could be a bat. It could, you know, the left likes to use these scary terms, but I want to go through some stats with you because I want to debunk some of this nonsense that these people are out talking about, including this narrative weapons of war, all this stuff that you're going to continue to hear from these lefties. But again, I want to reiterate, how the heck do you stop mass shootings overnight? Fear of God, fear of swift justice, fear of guns. I'm going to keep reiterating that. That's it, Patriot Post US, the assault weapons myth. So you've had these anti-Second Amendment people like Joe Biden, like Senator Christopher Murphy, like Coach Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors. They come out and they blur the lines between these military weapons and civilian firearms, and basically in an effort to confuse you and conflate the two. And to confuse the general public and rally support for banning assault weapons, as they call them. And that's what the left does. The left is good at using language. But keep in mind, no matter how scary their language sounds, the ultimate goal that the Democrats, and I believe the Democrats and the left today, their ultimate goal is to get control over you. These mass shootings, as horrible as they are, they are minor. I mean, as far as numbers are concerned, they're minor when you consider the amount of people, approximately 330 million people in the United States. It's not to minimize the shootings, not to do that at all, that it is an issue. But these are issues that can be resolved, in my opinion. Just reading from this column, there are semi-automatic rifles which fire one bullet for each trigger pull, and there are automatic rifles which fire multiple rounds per trigger pull. So for those of you that are not familiar with firearms, and I'm sure many of you that are listening to this podcast, you are, I happen to own firearms. So the left will talk about semi-automatic weapons, and we need to get rid of these assault weapons. A semi-automatic weapon is exactly as this article says. If you pull the trigger, one bullet comes out. So virtually everything you can buy in a gun store is going to be semi-automatic. The only things that aren't are those old school cowboy guns. You cock them, you know, or there's sometimes a pump shotguns where you have to pump for every round you fire. But literally, virtually every firearm out there is semi-automatic. So they're trying to trick you with that. But they're a bunch of liars, right? That's why, you know, their ultimate goal is for you to totally eliminate the Second Amendment, because they are a bunch of liars. It has nothing to do with weapons of war or assault weapons. A semi-automatic weapon is virtually any gun you will buy in a gun store. All right. For those of you that may be unfamiliar with that. And then they'll talk about these weapons of war, right? As if we really have access to those. Okay. So these weapons of war, these military weapons that they talk about, they're considered a quote class 3 firearm. All right. Close quote. And those are severely restricted for ownership under the 1934 National Firearms Act. So you and I have not been able to buy automatic weapons without a class 3 license for what? Close to 100 years now, just short of 100, 99, close to 90 years. So we've not been able to do that. So that's a lie. These people are out there just lying to you every chance they get. Those firearms are severely restricted. Those can be called, I guess, weapons of war, right? Because that's what our military uses. That's not what we have access to, even though I believe that we should have access to it. If you go based on the Second Amendment, for God's sake, saying yes, I do believe that we should have access to the same weapons the military does. Point blank. Carl, does that mean missiles? Who's going to buy a missile? Let's not get stupid here. All right. But no one has that type of money. But if the military and police officers can have automatic rifles, citizens should be able to have automatic rifles. That's my view, because the issue isn't the gun. That's just a piece of that's just a piece of metal. All right. That isn't the gun. I mean, or that isn't the issue. It's just a piece of metal. The issue that we're dealing with is a heart issue. There are evil people out there. Some of you might say mentally ill. Okay. But there's a lot of mentally ill people out there that don't go around and commit mass murders. So there's some evil people out there. All right. So legally owned weapons were used in two murders since 1934. So legally owned automatic weapons. So these weapons of war, they've been used in two murders since 1934. Now, this article was written probably 6-7 years ago. So maybe those numbers have slightly increased. But to get a class three license, you have to have a buttload of money to get those. And you have to jump through major hoops in order to get a class three license. So the chances are anyone that's going to be purchasing an automatic firearm is going to be a gun collector. And they're not going around killing people. All right, that's just a simple fact. So rifles of any kind comprise less than 2% of guns used in any crime. Did you hear that? Rifles in any crime comprise less than 2% of guns used in any crime. The New York Times admitted, this is another one as well, that the assault weapon scare is a myth. You guys remember the law that barred the sale of assault weapons from 1994 to 2004, the assault weapons ban. Joe Biden talked about that. He said the assault weapons ban worked. He is a liar. This guy is a complete habitual liar. How do you know Joe Biden is lying? When his lips are moving. The guy lies constantly. Listen, murder, homicides have been going down for 30 years. For 30 years. Despite the assault weapons ban. Or even after the assault weapons ban ended. So for them to say this assault weapons ban did something to curtail crime, it did not. It did not. It didn't move the radar one iota. So it lasted from 94 to 2004. They got rid of it, but it had no effect. Crime continued to go down after it was lifted. But the New York Times even admitted in 2014 that the assault weapons ban really had no impact on crime. All right. So now I want to talk to you about a couple of myths. I want to debunk some myths just so you're aware. Now, again, how do we end mass shootings? The fear of God, the fear of justice, the fear of guns. Let me just go into that real quick. Fear of God, fear of justice, fear of guns. Nobody wants to talk about this, but let's be real. You have a bunch of young kids running around the United States. Empty souls. You can't pray in school anymore. You can't talk about the Ten Commandments. You're chastised as a Christian. You're chastised as a Jew if you believe in that nonsense, all that religious stuff. But did you see a lot of mass shootings like this occurring when we had prayer in school, when more people, young people, were going to church? Did you see this? Of course you didn't. Here's the truth of the matter. The reason why I say the fear of God is the number one thing you can do to stop mass shootings. For those of you that may not understand the power of God, is simply this. When you believe and you grow up with a belief, as I did, even though I dabbled with crime, in the back of my head, I always knew and I always believed that there was a God above judging me. And when I thought about that, when I would stop in the midst of my craziness and have a moment to slow down, when I thought about that, I thought about, oh my God, I better get right with God. Otherwise, I won't make it to heaven. He's going to judge me for these things. From a young kid, I was thinking like that because my parents took me to church. So I always thought like that. So even when I went astray, even when I started doing stuff that I had no business doing, I always had that in the back of my mind. God is going to judge me. He will judge me now in this life, meaning I could go to jail. I could go to prison or worse. You know, I could be shot and killed. But if I don't repent of my sins, if I don't change my ways, then guess what? There's eternal damnation that I can experience. When kids understand that from a young age, guess what? That they're going to be accountable on this earth and in this life. But not only that, in the life to come, when kids get that fundamental understanding, instead of like they're just some fetus, they're just a bunch of a clump of cells. They just came up from the dirt, you know, all this nonsense. When they start believing that God created them for specific purposes, they find their meaning in that. And they start looking to God and their souls are filled instead of trying to appease everyone or be copycat to other mass murderers or any of that kind of stuff. So fear of God, number one, fear of justice. And let me just say swift justice. Let's just put it that way. Fear of swift justice. You saw what this Uvalde mass shooter got yesterday. His behind got some swift justice. A border patrol agent, a brave border patrol agent. There's been different reports, but apparently a border patrol agent from a tactical unit. There were cops on the scene. Apparently this shooter, this murderer, this evil person, I don't care. There's stories out that he was transgender. There's stories out that he was mentally ill. He was evil. He was evil. All right. Let's just get to the heart of the matter. He was evil. There's plenty of transgenders out there that aren't right now contemplating performing some type of mass shooting. You guys bear with me. I know my voice is still bad, but I had to make sure that I talked about this today. All right. So the kid was evil, but this border patrol agent, from what I understand, risked his life. Went into the building, sought this shooter out, engaged the shooter, killed the shooter. Apparently this border patrol agent was injured. I don't know if it was shrapnel. I don't know if he was shot, by the shooter. I don't know. But he was injured. But he saved lives. Apparently, all of the people that were killed were confined to one classroom, so the shooter didn't get a chance to go anywhere else. All right. Now, let me offer this to you. So you got the fear of God, the fear of justice. This kid got swift justice, and I think this is what we need to see. We need to see swift justice. I'm sorry, if you're a mass shooter, I think we should give police officers the okay on a scene like that, shoot to kill, wanted dead or alive. That's the first thing. All right. First things first, shoot to kill, dead or alive. If you've just gone inside, you've murdered children, or the mass shooter in Buffalo, New York, I really don't care if they put their hands up after they've just murdered 10 people, or after like this guy just murdered over 20 people. I don't care if their hands up, shoot to kill, swift justice. Now, here's another thing. If everyone knows that that person is the shooter, there's camera evidence, there's eyewitness evidence, there's a confession or whatever, these cases should be expedited for the death penalty. We need the death penalty. And people that commit these crimes, they shouldn't have an opportunity to plead. I'm sorry. They should. Listen, we have the greatest system in the world. We have the greatest system in the world. Actually, I take that back. They can plead not guilty. But I think they need to be tried and they need to be sentenced and their sentence carried out if it's the death penalty within 90 days or 6 months. These people shouldn't sit in prison for years when they just created that type of carnage. It just shouldn't happen. All right. the last thing, fear of guns. You ever wonder why cops don't get robbed? For all of you that say, oh, man, you know, the answer is less guns. Okay, if the answer is less guns, how come you call 911 or you know to call 911 if there's some type of an emergency? Because the truth is, you're hoping that a guy with a gun shows up that you can trust. That's the truth. I just don't think we think about this stuff. Also, consider this. If guns don't stop crime, then why is it that the areas of the country that have the strictest gun laws, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, have the worst violence when it comes to criminals using guns? The blue cities ran by Democrats with the strictest laws have the worst gun violence. Go to a red city, an American city like I did, a small town where you know people carry guns like I did this weekend. You know, people carry guns. You know, people believe in the Second Amendment, and there's not a lot of crime because people believe in the Second Amendment. And you have to wonder, and I live in Florida. I have to wonder, I'm a concealed carrier. I have to wonder who else is. All right. So just something to think about. Now, let me bust up some of these myths. It's always better to be able to have a firearm and conceal. Imagine if a police officer was already there armed. You have a single entry point. I believe there should be other exits. I heard an expert last night and I thought it was a great point. Say basically there should be some type of an alert technology exists. If someone believes there's a shooter on site, that can open up, lock down certain doors, but there should always be a single entry point with an armed guy. We don't need the federal government to do that, for God's sakes. All these people, federal government. You can get state and local state governments and local police officers, sheriffs, to be able to fund that, kick in some money. That's worth paying tax money for, to keep our kids safe, armed with the right weaponry, armed with good weaponry, you know, maybe an AR-15, along with a, along with a pistol, along with a sidearm, plenty of magazines to go along with that in case he has to do some, you know, damage, but somebody that's right there immediately that's willing to engage an active shooter in the event that that happened. Right. So those are the things that need to happen. But before you say no guns, isn't it funny? Just ask yourself that this type of the overwhelming crime that we see in blue cities doesn't happen in red states. Now, obviously, you see this mass shooting that occurs in red states, but it's always going to be an issue with freedom. You have the Second Amendment. We're always going to have those type of issues. All right. Let me go on to this. All right. There's Biden wants to ban weapons of war. So-called weapons of war by Biden. I want to get into this really quickly. When he was running he was a Democratic candidate running for the president, he wrote an article in the New York Times titled "Banning Assault Weapons Works." Now, I told you that's a complete and utter lie. It didn't work. He knows it didn't work. It didn't do anything to curtail crime. Crime continued to decrease after the assault weapons ban was lifted in 2004, nearly 20 years. And we haven't seen a major rise in crime with guns. But he says he'll push the assault weapons ban again. That's exactly what he was trying to do yesterday. So about here's what Biden had to say in that column that he wrote back in, I believe it was 2020, for the New York Times, entitled "Banning Assault Weapons Works." We have to get these weapons of war off our streets. Nearly 70% of American public support a ban on assault weapons, including 54% of Republicans. That's a lie. When you have that kind of broad public support for legislation that will make their families safer, and it still can't get through the Senate, the problem is with weak-willed leaders who care more about their campaign coffers than children in coffers. And most voters, when you dig down, don't know what an assault weapon is. First off, that's why I explain that. And then here's this type of argument is becoming more and more common from Democrat politicians. This, according to I believe this was Breitbart, especially as we approach the presidential election season, but now we're in the midterms. But that's what they wrote then. Leaders in the Democratic Party continue to make one claim and one hard implication as it pertains to mass shootings. And that is, here's a claim: we must ban, quote, assault weapons, close quote, otherwise referred to weapons of war, because they are the gun of choice for mass shooters. The implication is, of course, the majority of people killed in mass shootings are killed with assault weapons. Go check the streets of Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. Though they have mass shootings every single freaking week. Are they using these weapons of war? No, they're not. They're using handguns, overwhelmingly so. All right, so both the claim and the implication are statistically dubious. They're a flat-out lie. But looking at the data, this was from Mother Jones. They did I know this site could be crazy, but they did a very comprehensive record of every mass shooting that has occurred in the U.S. since 82. The percentage of shootings in which the perpetrator used only rifles is significantly smaller than the percentage of shootings in which the perpetrator used handguns. So here's the stats. 50% of the 114 mass shootings committed in the U.S. from 1982 to 2019 were committed using only handguns. 12.2% of the 114 mass shootings committed in the U.S. from 1982 to 2009 were committed using only rifles. 50%, 12%. 24.5% of the 114 mass shootings committed in the United States from 1982 to 2019 were committed using a mix of handguns and rifles together. All right. Some shotguns and other firearms as well. Of the 934 deaths, now this is going back all the way back to 2019. Of the 934 deaths in mass shootings from 1982 to 2019, 385 or 41.2% happened in shootings in which handguns were the only firearms used. Of the 934 deaths in mass shootings from 1982 to 2019, 19.4% happened in shootings in which rifles were the only firearms used. Or of the 934 deaths in mass shootings from 1982 to 2019, 367 or 38.3% happened in shootings, which a mix of firearms were used. And then here's some more FBI crime stats from 2013 to 2017. 66.2% of all gun homicides in the U.S. were committed using handguns, 66.2%, while just 3.25% were committed using rifles. So AR-15s aren't a huge problem, but that's what the media likes to talk about, because the truth of the matter is Democrats don't want to turn the attention back on their cities that they're running, where you see the vast majority of mass shootings occurring in blue cities, in Democratic cities, where people are using handguns. All right. 26% were committed using, quote, type not stated firearms. But even if you conclude that half of those unspecified firearms were rifles, that would bump the 3.25% up to approximately 16.2% of gun homicides. Even with that generous statistical assumption, handguns would still be responsible for four times as many homicides as rifles. So this idea that there's weapons of war, complete nonsense. Remember, you have to go all the way back to the 1934 National Firearms Act, where you and I have not been allowed to own weapons of war. So the Democrat Party just keeps lying to you to gain control. And by the way, as far as gun defenses are concerned, if we were to account for every time a gun is used to stop a crime, you would literally have to report, I think it's, I've heard stats as much as every 7 to 15 seconds. Because there are so many gun stops, people that have firearms, concealed weapons, police officers, whomever it may be, that are stopping a crime. None of those crimes are being, none of those deterrences are being reported. None of those deterrences are being reported. So, in fact, so a mass shooting occurred yesterday. Just think about this. A gun was used, let's just say, round it off. A gun was used every 10 seconds to make sure a shooting of some sort or a crime of some sort was stopped yesterday. That's not going to be reported, because the stories would be too voluminous. They'd be all over the place. All right. Now, here are some liberals reacting to the polls, but not actual facts here. So Biden cites in this article that he wrote back in 2020, he cites an August 2019 poll from the Morning Consult and Political of 1960 registered voters, which asked, how much do you support or oppose banning assault weapons? A combined 70% of respondents said they strongly support or somewhat support, close unquote, such a ban. Okay, that sounds like a large number. However, in October 2018, Gallup polling asked, do you think there should or should not be a law that would ban the possession of handguns, except by the police and other authorized persons? 71% of respondents said there, quote, should not be, close quote, such a law. So when you start digging down into these issues, the numbers that the Democrats cite are just misleading at best. All right, now, one more thing that I want to share with you before we go on this podcast. The myth that the U.S. leads the world in mass shootings, because you're going to hear that if you haven't heard that already. So we don't lead the world in mass shootings, despite the fact that we have a Second Amendment and we have a lot of gun owners in the United States of America. So comparing the annual death rate from mass public shootings, had to feet.org. They got some stats from the from John Lott comparing the annual death rate from mass public shootings. So they compare European countries to the U.S. and Canada from January 2009 all the way up to December of 2015. And as far as the annual death rate from mass public shootings, the U.S. ranks number 11. That's after Norway, Serbia, France, Macedonia, Albania, Slovakia, Switzerland, Finland, Belgium, and the Czech Republic. Now, another stat, the frequency of mass public shootings compared to European countries to the U.S. and Canada from January 2009 to 2015, the United States ranks 12th. All right. So of all of these industrialized nations, so you got Macedonia, Albania, Serbia, Switzerland, Norway, Slovakia, Finland, Belgium, Austria, Czech Republic, and France ahead of the United States in the frequency of mass public shootings. So when the Democrats come to you with this nonsense, just know they're lying. If you really want to be serious about stopping this issue of mass shootings, again, you need to put the fear of God in children. You need to put the fear of justice, swift justice. We are going to pop a cap in your behind on the spot, or you're going to get the electric chair, a firing squad, or something else within a short period of time if you are found guilty by a jury of your peers. None of this nonsense where, you know, these guys live for 20 years on death row, especially if they committed a mass shooting where evidence is all over the place. The gun is, they still have the gun in their hand, you know, and again, I think it should be a dead or alive scenario. You got a shooter and it's a verified shooter. All right. Because accidents can happen, but it's a verified shooter. Kill them right there on the spot. That's what I say. Stop wasting taxpayer money on all this nonsense. Then fear of guns. There's a reason why these shooters look for soft targets. If you think of Pulse right here, I'm in Florida. I'm in the Orlando area. You think of the Pulse nightclub. The guy wasn't that killer, that murderer. He wasn't searching out a gay club like the media wants you to believe. He Googled. He literally Googled stuff. He looked for soft targets. He found a place that he knew people would likely be unarmed, and he went there to shoot them up. The same with that Boulder, Colorado shooter. He looked for a theater that he knew did not allow weapons, firearms inside, and that's where he went. This is what these shooters do. They look for soft targets. Keep that in mind. Guys, please make sure you subscribe to my podcast everywhere podcasts are found. Particularly go to my Rumble account, go to YouTube, click the bell on YouTube, but everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to The Carl Jackson Podcast. Remember, The Carl Jackson Podcast. Also, please, my social media, The Carl Jackson Show. So for my social media, at The Carl Jackson Show, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, trying to grow the numbers there, whether it's True Social, wherever I am on social media, Facebook, The Carl Jackson Show. Guys, I appreciate you tuning in. I actually have more stuff here, but a bunch of myths. I just wanted to debunk the myths. Don't give up your Second Amendment rights. Pray for these people. But their tragedy, as horrible as it is, and I do pray for them, it doesn't nullify my right to be able to defend myself. What these lefties want is to be able to control us. They get rid of legally armed citizens, law-abiding citizens with firearms. They can control us. Until next time, don't go where you're doing good. God bless.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.